Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, president of Schneps Media, and having today an A-lister, if there ever was an A-lister. And I'm so pleased that Justin Kelton has joined us. Justin is a partner and the co-chair of the litigation department at the very well-respected Abrams and Festerman Law Firm. Welcome, Justin. So happy to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Vicki. It's really an honor to be here with you.
Thank you. We really enjoy the firm. And of course, I can give a little bit of a commercial since you are my lawyer. The firm is my lawyer. So I'm a little prejudiced about how I think the talent is there. But, you know, like with all things, and for you, Justin, I know some things about you, but I'd love you to share with the listeners. How did you, in your childhood, get on the path of being a lawyer? Was there someone that influenced you?
Sure. So it was a long path. I didn't know that I wanted to be a lawyer right away, but I grew up in New Jersey, and my father was and is a very, very talented, exceptional trial lawyer. And so, you know, seeing him do what he did, I was always aware that, you know, it was an interesting field, that you get to do important work that really brings meaning to your clients' lives. And so even though I didn't know exactly that I would end up there, it was always kind of a possibility.
Well, you know, I think that somehow childhood's happenings, who you're born to, influences who you're going to be. And so, you know, have you always been in a firm, or was this some journey too to come to the firm?
Absolutely. So, you know, when I went to college, I was a computer science major. I was not thinking about law, but my job at the time and my passion was musical instruments. And I was working in a store that sold musical instruments. And so I'm in college and I'm trying to think about, you know, what I might do afterwards. And I saw this article about a lawsuit involving the insurance proceeds of a Stradivarius violin, which is a very, you know, well-known and very expensive violin. And I know you know something about violins, Vicki.
Yes, the best of the best.
And so I read this article and I thought, you know, wow, what a fascinating little niche area of law that I never even, you know, thought about before. But these lawyers were involved in this really high stakes lawsuit over the proceeds of this violin. And so I looked into it and I found out what law firm was handling that lawsuit. And I ended up applying for and getting a job there over the summer. And I loved it. And I stayed with it ever since.
Remarkable. You know, isn't that something that some incident like that brought you to where you are today? So tell me, you know, as a partner in the firm, tell me how, you know, being co-chair of the litigation department, what does that mean when you are a, you know, these different committees? How does it work in the law firm?
You know, at a law firm like ours, we are blessed to have a lot of really wonderful lawyers, including, you know, many, many excellent litigators. And so we all have our practices that we do, you know, working with clients and cases, but then we also have to, you know, make sure that we're operating across the firm as a cohesive unit, as a department, and that we're, you know, bringing on and recruiting and training excellent younger lawyers who are going to become the future of the firm. And part of what I do, in addition to my active practice of law, which is very, very busy, is I help run our litigation department and do all of those things that need to be done so that the department can operate successfully.
So give me, I don't want to say your favorite case, but maybe challenging case that you handled as a litigator?
Sure. So, you know, my practice is a mix of really two different things. I handle commercial and business disputes, oftentimes for, you know, big business clients. And then I handle civil rights and public interest litigation. And those involve, you know, cases ranging from discrimination to sexual harassment and abuse to, you know, First Amendment issues to cases involving significant political or cultural implications. And it's hard to pick a favorite because I really, really enjoy the practice of law and the cases that I get to work on. But the cases that tend to have an impact broader than just the immediate parties, cases that have, you know, First Amendment issues or political or cultural issues, those are cases that, you know, make you feel like, man, this is as good as it gets being a lawyer. You're really doing something important and that, you know, people are going to hopefully notice and appreciate. So I'm lucky to have a bunch of those. Some of them are very confidential and, you know, can't be disclosed. But all I'll say is working on cases that have a broad impact is extremely rewarding.
Well, you know, my daughter was brain damaged at birth, and we had her at a place called Willowbrook. They had an infant rehabilitation center. And then the governor slashed the budget, and all of my members became marchers and picketers. And then my husband was a lawyer, and he said, no, no, we've got to file a federal class action lawsuit. And my daughter was a named plaintiff, and we won the case. Wow. And Willowbrook is now the College of Staten Island. So wow. I'd love to hear, do you do any class action lawsuits?
We do. Yeah, we do class actions, mass actions, individual cases. Really, it's, you know, it's driven by the client's needs and goals. And one of the things about a law firm like ours is we do a lot of different things, and we try to be able to do whatever a client might need from us. So that often involves, you know, in-court work, it involves out-of-court work, government relations, you know, arbitration, litigation, and including class actions when warranted.
But they take a lot of work. You know, I don't know where they sit in terms of how many hours are accumulated with class action lawsuits compared to lawsuits that are just the individual parties.
Yeah, it's an enormous amount of work. You know, the management of a class action is an art unto itself. And it has to be done by firms that are, you know, really well equipped to do it. And it's not something you can sort of dabble in. And we have some people here who are just wonderful at it.
Well, that's, you know, we do, the Civil Liberty Union was our lawyer. So, you know, how much time it had to take to be able to, and I understand the power of that, you know, having lawyers that knew how to navigate such a hours and hours and hours of testimony and witnesses.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of preparation, but, you know, in our business, preparation is almost always the difference maker. The law firm and the lawyer that is the best prepared is in a very, very good spot.
So, you know, we all suffered through COVID and the courts were closed. How much of your business was impacted, or how did you navigate? You know, we as a media company, you know, we were saved by PPP, and so we got some money for payroll. And we were blessed not to have to fire many people. But what did you do with the courts closed?
Yeah, you know, it's. I'm really happy to say that our business continued almost without stop. We have a law firm that does a lot of different things. And so we're not overly invested only in one practice area that might get hit really hard when there's something like a shutdown. And so different areas of our practice picked up, and we started and created new practice groups to help clients deal with things like PPP loans and, you know, COVID relief and other things. And so, you know, during times when the courts were closed, our lawyers were finding other ways to help service those clients when they really needed it. And we have a wonderful tech department who helped us go remote instantly. And it was almost a seamless transition for us.
You know, that really, I think I use the expression, I've turned from a boomer into a zoomer.
I like that.
And the technology that has allowed that, God bless Erica Hercules, who runs our technical division, you know, is seamless, as you have said that. But I think, you know, a life like yours is a busy life. I mean, what do you do for fun?
Well, I can actually truthfully say that I have fun practicing law, but I also take some time off, and you know, I'm still a music nut. I still love to play guitar and jam with my friends and my family. I recently got a young puppy named Moose, who's a Pomeranian, and he's taking up a lot of our time, and I absolutely love him. And, you know, being in New York City for me, I'm obsessed with restaurants and food. And so I spend a lot of time searching out the newest places.
Well, it sounds like a great fun of a life, you know, both serious and then the lightness of loving a dog.
Yeah, you have to have the balance.
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted you to give some advice to those who listen to us about what I call the secrets to success. What put you above the rest to be able to be successful? The things that you can put your finger on that you could advise others?
Sure. So, you know, it's hard to pick any one thing, but I would say that if you can search for and find a piece of your work that you think is interesting and that you like, and then focus on that and develop your skills on that, you know, that really will take you to the next level. For me, it's writing. I really like the creativity of legal writing, of advocacy, of trying to communicate, you know, both passion and forcefulness in written form to a judge. And I focused on that a lot. And as I did it more and more, I got better and better at it, but I also liked it more and more. And so if you can find something like that, an aspect of your work that you find really interesting, and then, you know, make that your calling, good things can happen.
Well, I think nothing is better than to love your work. You said something that I feel. I may work a lot, but I love my work. My work is my fun.
Yeah.
I have the same feeling. Yes.
It's true. It's true of me too. You know, not a lot of lawyers say that, but for me, I really have a great time practicing law. And that's because of our wonderful clients and our amazing team that I get to work with every day.
Well, I think nothing is better than a great team. And I'm blessed the same way to have great people around me. I think that's Howard Festerman's challenge has been and succeeded at putting great people around him to build this firm.
So absolutely. It comes from the top down. I mean, a culture of a company or a law firm is, you know, is set by its leader. And Howard is somebody who you can tell is having fun practicing law and running his law firm. And I think that a little bit of that rubs off on all of us.
Well, I think that's great. And I wish you all a great year. And I wanted to thank so much to have with us today, Justin Kelton. Justin is with a partner with the Abrams Festerman Law Firm. And it was my delight to have a chance to chat with you. And until next time, this is Victoria Schnepp saying goodbye for now.
Thank you so much, Vicki.